We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
Good morning, Sheffield Community Church. We welcome you once more to our Sunday morning celebration. It's been a while since we came together, but plans are working out at the moment. We will be able to meet in person in the next few weeks. We'll let you know. But just to let you know that last week we started on a theme, the season of open doors, and today we are looking at part two of that theme. I'm going to talk to us today on the topic, the essentials of open doors. The essentials of open doors. I'm reading from the book of Revelation chapter 3, from verse 7 through to 8. The Bible reads, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, the words of the Holy One, the true One, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name." Father, we thank you this morning for the reading of your word. We welcome you, Spirit of God, into this meeting today. Pray that you will minister to us by your Spirit and that you will touch our lives in ways that will transform us so that we never be the same. In your name we pray, amen. Last week we started building a case for the theme, which is a season of open doors, and we spoke about the vision that John saw when he was taken in the Spirit from the island of Patmos. And in this vision, he saw the Son of God in the midst of lampstands, seven lampstands. And we still continue with that vision that he saw in heaven. And we're focusing on one church, the Church of Philadelphia. The Lord Jesus comes to this church in Philadelphia, and he has no accusations at all for this church, nor does he find any sin in this church. So their challenge was not the present. Their challenge was the future. So he unveils to them a vision of what they could do as a church. He gave them a great opportunity for ministry in this gateway city called Philadelphia. It was a church of awesome opportunity, but also it has opposition at the same time. And so the Lord Jesus sets before them an open door. Like we read in verse 8, the greatest thing that God can give to any church is a vision. And that if that vision is about an open door, then it gets even exciting, because an open door that God opens means that no man can shut. So we have an opportunity as a church today, even us here today, of an open door, because we've entered a season of open doors for our lives, for our ministries, for our families. And even as a nation, I believe we've entered a season of open doors. Seasons are determined by God. And God always uses seasons when he's dealing with man. And he works in seasons. New seasons take you to a place where you need doors and gates to open so that you enter the next level of your life. In order for you to transition from one season to the next, you need doors to open for you, and you need gates to open for you. If that doesn't happen, you then get stuck in a level, or at a level, and you feel like you're not going nowhere. But I pray that doors will open for you in this season. I pray that God will smash open some doors, and that some doors you'll be able to speak to them, and they will open in Jesus' name. And so God is giving the Philadelphia church, in the text that I read, an opportunity of an open door. He's offering them an opportunity to be a church that's reaching people, because this was a gateway city that connected the east and the west. So there was lots that could happen in this city. And one of the things that could happen, which we can relate with today as a church in SSC, is it was an opportunity to reach people and turn them into fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. So who do doors open for? Our topic is essentials of open doors. Who do open doors go to? And who can experience doors that are open this morning? Our Lord Jesus is saying to us this morning that he has set before us open doors. And we are entering a season of open doors because of God himself. It is Jesus who was speaking to the Philadelphia church, and he announces to them, he says, I have set before you an open door. And this door that I've set before you, no man can shut. So, this morning we are faced with the question, who do open doors belong to? What does one have to do in order to enter a season of open doors? Well, the answer is in Revelation 3, verse 8, where the Bible says, this is Jesus speaking, he says, I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. As we read the passage, this passage today, there are several things we need to see in the Philadelphia church that attracted a season of open doors for that church. And it is from these few things that we pick from this text that we can apply into our lives in order for doors to open for us too. The first thing we notice about this church that attracted doors to open for them is, number one, doors open for those that God knows. Doors open for those that God knows. The Bible says, I know your works. Doors open for people that not only know God, but that are known by God. God has to know you if doors are going to open in your life. The Philadelphia church came under the scrutiny of Jesus Christ. So Jesus says to them, I know you. I have scrutinized you. I've inspected you. I've examined your lives. I know your works. I know your activities. I know what you do in that church. Nothing was left outside of Jesus' scrutiny. And as I speak to you this morning, I want to encourage you to say, God would like to scan your life. He wants to put it under his scrutiny. No one knows you like Jesus Christ. And nobody can claim that knows you more than Jesus Christ knows you. Only Jesus can inspect every part of your life and know your condition with perfect accuracy. Jesus knows your past failures. Jesus knows your past successes. Jesus knows your problems. He knows your difficulties. He understands your dreams, your desires, and your aspirations. So why not let him inspect your life? If Jesus is not allowed to examine your life, then doors cannot open for you. If Jesus is not allowed to come in and inspect your heart, then he's not obliged to open doors for your life so that you can reach out to your destiny. It is required of you during this season to lay your life down and let Jesus consecrate you. Let him do as he wills with your life. Allow him, give him room, because Jesus has got the right tools. He has got the perfect prescription for you and the best approach to examine your life and my life. He will sanctify you by his Holy Spirit, and he will consecrate you and set you apart for his purpose. And so when he comes to the Philadelphia church, Jesus says, I know your works. I know you as a church. I know you as individuals. And he's coming to us this morning. He says to you and me, I know you. I know your works. Give me room to work into your life. And as I work into your life, I will open doors. Because God opens doors for those that he knows. Does God know you today? David, writing in Psalms 139, from verse 23 to 24, he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." David says, David is saying to God, "God, search me, come into my life, search, inspect my life. If you find anything that's not lining up, aligning with your will, deal with it. Remove it from my life." I wish we could make that statement to God this morning. If we want doors to open for our lives this season, then we need to bring our lives before God. Is it not Jesus Christ himself who's speaking to us saying, "I know your works. I know your works." You are accountable. When God can say, "I know your works," it means you are accountable. There is nothing to hide in your life from God. Your life is open to God. God can come into your life and check and inspect you and scan you. You come out okay. You see, because God knows your works, he will be able to open doors for your life. And no one will shut those doors because he's God. There's a second thing that we need to do in order for doors to open in our lives. These are what I call essentials for doors to open in your life. The second essential is the doors open for those that lack strength. The doors open for those that lack strength. We read in Revelation 3, verse 8, where Jesus says, "I know that you have but little power." He says, "I know that you have but little power." He's talking about the Philadelphia church. Apparently, this was not a large or strong church. It was a little church. It was very small. However, it was a faithful church. Revelation 3:10 suggests that this church had gone through some kind of trials and difficult special testing of some kind. They had endured some trials, and yet they proved themselves faithful to God. So in spite of all the difficult conditions they might have faced, the trials, the tests, this church still came out faithful. I don't know what you're going through this morning. Maybe you have been taken away by people's point of view about your life, where power has dominated your life in terms of people affecting and influencing your opinion in different ways. You know, in the world that we live in, political power governs nations and peoples. In the world we live in, military power conquers armies and takes territories. In the world we live in today, there is financial power that comes through selling and buying and trading that gives people an opportunity to accumulate wealth. There is such power. We know that. However, even when a church has got little power, when its power is centered on God, that power is more powerful than powerful nations, than political power, than financial power, than military power. We need the power of God. We need the power of God. People might say we have little strength. This church in Philadelphia, its members were known to be of low levels of economic status. In terms of economic status, they were on the low levels. And yet, in this small church with little resources, they had power from God. They attracted God. With their little power, they were able to trigger the presence of God and the inspection of God, where God says to them, "You found no sin in this church of little power." Yet they were faithful. You know, church, a church that is small in power is powerful and greater before God, because this particular church was pleasing to Jesus Christ. And one of the things I realized about this church is that their help came from Zion. The Bible says, "Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heavens and the earth." Your help comes from the Lord. The Bible even tells us that when we are weak, we are strong in the Lord. The Bible says we are more than conquerors in Christ. We may be weak. We may be beaten down. We may be feeling like failures. But the Bible has a different message. We are more than victorious in Christ. For we have overcome the world because of Jesus Christ. There are things that are mysterious in the Bible. Things of the Spirit are mysterious. When you looked at a man like Samson, Samson, according to the pictures we see in the media or wherever, is depicted as a powerful, strong man with protruding biceps and triceps. And the idea I have, my imagination of Samson is that there was nothing to show for Samson besides the dreadlocks he had. But what was powerful about this regular guy like Samson was that the anointing of God, when it came upon him, Samson had the strength of 100 men because of the power from on high. So here is a man of little strength, but when strength came from on high, this man could pull down and kill and destroy an army of the Philistines. One man endowed with power from on high was almost equal to an army of 100 soldiers. So it doesn't matter how weak you are this morning. When the anointing of the Lord is upon you, you have supernatural strength to do things that seem impossible. It's not about the size or the strength of a person that determines your ministry. It's about the faith in the call of God upon your life. What is it that God has called you to? Who are you depending on to get things done in your life? My prayer is that you will depend on power from on high. My prayer is that you will depend on the power that comes from God. Because what God commands, He enables. When God gives vision, provision will follow. Because whatever God gives a vision for, He pays for it. But if you come up with your own vision, you will pay the bill. So where are you getting your vision from? God will give you strength to accomplish what He has called you to do on this earth. There is a provision in God's vision. If Jesus opens a door, He will see to it that you will walk through that door. He will give you the energy. He will give you the strength to walk through that door. If it means you are staggering through an open door, God will wait for you to stagger through that open door. In any case, when He opens the door, no one can close it. God will wait for you. It's not an issue of strength. It's an issue of obedience to what God has said in your life. Here is the third essential. The third essential is that doors will open for those that keep His word. Doors will open for those that keep His word. The Bible says the Philadelphian church, they kept His word. Revelation 3 verse 8. It tells us that. And yet you have kept my word. Talking about this small church. The Philadelphian church was made up of obedient disciples. They obeyed the word of God in every area of their lives. They were true to God's word. This is like manna from heaven that the children of Israel were given by God in the wilderness for 40 years. It is that manna that sustained them in those 40 years in the desert. And we know that manna, when Jesus came in the gospel, He says, I am the bread of life. I am that bread that you ate in the wilderness, that your forefathers ate in the wilderness. You remember Elijah when he was on his way from Mount Carmel to meet with God in the wilderness or in Mount Sinai. He, for 40 days, he had to walk after he had eaten food that was given to him by angels. It is that food, that angelic food, that sustained him all the way for 40 days to meet up with God. It is this food, this spiritual food, and my spiritual food and your spiritual food is the word of God. It is the word of God that will sustain you. It is the word of God that will nourish you. It is the word of God that will strengthen you at times when you are failing or breaking down. At times when you are losing faith, at times when you are losing hope, it is the word of God that will lift you up. The Bible says, and they kept the word of God. Because they kept the word of God, doors opened for this church. When you keep the word of God, God will open doors for you. Many believers, too many believers, are suffering from spiritual malnourishment. And that is a problem. And today, I want to point you to the word of God. Is it not Jesus himself who says that man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God? You need the word of God. You need the word of God every day. A lot of temptations will come your way, but keep the word of God. A lot of distractions will come your way, but keep the word of God. A lot of attractions will come your way, but keep the word of God. A lot of deception will come your way, but I want to say to you, keep the word of God. Be established in the word. Be unshakable in the word. Be immovable in the word of God, and doors will begin to open. You will attract open doors when you keep the word of God. This is what this church did. As they kept the word of God in the midst of challenges, as they kept the word in the midst of temptations, in the midst of opposition, the word says a door was opened for them by Jesus Christ. They kept the word. They kept the word. David says, a man who's blessed of God is a man who delights in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. He goes on to say, he's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Wherever he walks, doors will open. He will attract something about closed doors. They will open because of a man who's blessed of God and who's in the word of God. Do you delight in the word of God this morning? The Bible is your only source of spiritual nourishment. Nothing beats that. Without it, you are stunted. Without the word of God, you are malnourished and undernourished, as a matter of fact. Your soul needs the word of God. You will not survive for long on small irregular rations of John 3:16 every day. You need to go deeper. You need to go deeper with the word of God. Seek him more. Eat his word. Eat it more. You'll be healthy. You'll be stronger. You will be more energized in the spirit. Does the word of God have a place in your life? Does the word of God have a place in your home? Does the word of God have a place in your heart this morning? I want to point you to the word of God. Perhaps you are here this morning and you feel like your passion for God's word is wearing thin. Your passion for the word of God is dead. Let me assure you that God's word is the source of your salvation. God's word is the source of your deliverance. God's word is your source of restoration this morning. And God wants to restore you through his word. Finally, the final essential in God's word is this. The doors open for those that stand on his name. If you stand on his name, then doors will open in your life. It's an essential. This church was not afraid to bear the name of Jesus Christ. They had denied Jesus' name. They had refused to give up on the name of Jesus Christ. In fact, history tells us that in those days, several churches, the people had died for this name. They were martyrs for this name. And those that were not martyred were maligned and they were marginalized because of that name. Yet, they did not deny the name of Jesus Christ. When Jesus left the earth, he extended his authority to his disciples. He says, I give you authority to go and make disciples of all nations. He gave them the right to use his name. He says in John 16, verse 23, 24, most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. At his name, all shall bow. At his name, every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. At his name, demons tremble. This church, Philadelphia, was totally dependent on the name of the Lord. It was totally dependent for God to give them the power, to give them the strength, and also to get results. This church understood that their own resources were limited. This church understood that they had little strength. They could not do anything on their own. And so they leaned heavily on the name of Jesus Christ. They refused to deny the name, because it is in the name that you've got doors opening up for you. It is in that name that doors have to open. They are compelled to open because of that name. We know this from the early apostles, where then they were arrested for healing a man who was born blind, who was born a beggar. He used to sit on the gate beautiful day in, day out. And when this man was healed, they were arrested. And this is what they said in Acts 4, verse 7. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" The name of the Lord comes with signs and wonders. That name comes with forgiveness and remission of sins. When you say that name, things happen. You know, the apostles risked their lives. They risked their lives. In fact, Paul was prepared to die for this name. That's how powerful the name was. They were not intimidated by people who resisted or denied this name. They just continued extending the kingdom of God. They continued preaching the living word of God. They continued proclaiming that name by which no man may be saved except the name given unto man, the name Jesus Christ. They were not intimidated at all. They preached that name. The Church of Philadelphia is worth emulating to us today. They were not great. They were not powerful. They were not wealthy. Yet they refused to deny the name of Jesus Christ. They preached that door and opportunities opened up for them. Doors opened for them. Jesus himself came to announce and says, "I open before you today a door." Because they refused to deny the name of Jesus Christ. I want to close with this today. Just because we have an opportunity, just because we have an opportunity today, it's not a guarantee that we will take the opportunity. Just because doors are open in your life today, there's no guarantee that you will take that opportunity to walk through that door. You could be having an opportunity this morning. Perhaps you're here today, and there's an open door standing in front of you right now, and you are saying, "I don't believe it." Or perhaps you're saying, "I don't see it." You could be saying to yourself, "I just can't accept it. It can't be that easy." I say to you this morning, enter through the open door. Step in. Don't procrastinate. Keep the word. Don't doubt Jesus Christ this morning. Don't deny his name. Step in. When Jesus opens the door for you, he keeps his word. When Jesus makes a way for you, he says in his word, no man can shut it. Perhaps this is your opportunity today. A door has been opened, and Jesus wants you to enter through, to step into this new season in your life. He won't slam it shut in your face. That's not how it happens with God. I encourage you this morning to be not distracted by too many other doors that have been opened by all sorts of people using the arm of the flesh. There is a door open for us today. For someone listening here this morning, it's the door of salvation. I want you to step into that door this morning, and I can help you step through this door. Jesus has been waiting. Jesus is saying, step in. I've got more things for you on the other side. He says in his word, behold, I stand and knock at the door. If any man hears me and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him. Can you imagine Jesus saying that to you? He's opening a door for you. Saying, would you open the door of your heart? Step into that place where you can dine with him. I'd like to lead you to Christ right there. If you could say this after me. If you're saying, Lord, I want to step in today. I want to start a new walk with you. I'm tired of doubting you. I'm tired of living on the edge. I'm tired of the door remaining shut in my life. But from this day forth, I want to step into a new season of my life. A new season of obedience. A new season of aligning my will to your will. If you're that kind of a person this morning, I want you to pray with me this prayer. Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning. Thank you for forgiving me for my sins. I confess that I'm a sinner. I confess that I need you in my life. May you please forgive me for my sins and cleanse me from within. From this day forward, change my life. I choose to follow you. May you fill me with your spirit. Teach me your ways. Walk with me that my life may be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you pray that prayer with me, please do get in touch with us. We'd like to help you. We'd like to talk to you. We'd like to explain to you further this new life that you have chosen, a new life in Christ, what that means to you, what it could do to your life and to those around you. Justin is going to give us more details on how you can get in touch with us. We really pray that you will experience a whole new way of life from this day forth. If you are listening today and you are one of those that says, I want to enter my season of open doors. Yes, you've given your life to Christ, but you're saying, my life can change. My life can be different. I want to pray with you too before we close. Father, I thank you for those that are stepping into this new life of open doors, a season of open doors, that Father, as they keep the word of God, as they depend on you with their little strength, as they choose not to deny the name of Jesus Christ and stand on the promises of God, Lord, may you fulfill your word in their lives. Your word, Lord, that says, when we are weak, you'll make us strong. Your word, my Lord, that says, you will be there for us. You have made us more than conquerors in Christ. Lord, may you fill us with your spirit this morning. And may we sense the strength from on high, like I felt it this morning before this preach. Well, Lord, I sensed your strength come upon me. May it be the same for someone listening today who's feeling weak, who's feeling downtrodden, who's feeling exhausted. May your strength come upon them right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Thank you for tuning in with us. Tune in again next week, same time, as we continue this series, The Season of Open Doors. God bless you.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.